तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यं भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो न प्रचोदयात्। ॐ मे वी मेडिटेट ऑन दैट सुप्रीम बीइंग हु ड्वेल्स इन द हार्ट्स ऑफ ऑल। He is the source and sustenance of this universe. In Him we live, move, and have our being. May He illumine our hearts and may He guide us in every way. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace. Peace. We have been studying the crest jewel of discrimination by the great seer philosopher Shankara. Now the truth, the supreme truth of non-dualism is taught here. To recapitulate what we have already studied, the principle brought out is that man is divine. The divinity is the nature of the soul or self. We call in Sanskrit Atman, the Self with capital S. And that is one with Brahman. Now I'd say the parallelism to it is this, which you find in every religion, that the kingdom of God is within. And whoever has attained to the knowledge of God, whether he is a Christian mystic or a Sufi mystic or a Buddhist or a Hindu, each one has realized God within himself. In his own self. Only in their explanations they bring their doctrines. For instance, Christians would try to explain that experience as through the grace of God the soul becomes deified. But again, there are great Christian mystics who speak like we do. Take, for instance, Meister Eckhart. He said, "It is the simple people that think that God is way up there and I am here. But the truth is, God and I are one." And to give you again the truer understanding of what religion means, it is this. No doctrines or dogmas or theories or beliefs. They may be necessary for some people. But if we live within certain dogmas and doctrines and theories, we are still playing with the word religion. But religion is something that is to be experienced, to be realized. You see, we are in ignorance. And this is something universal. everybody is in ignorance. Because the truth of God is not revealed. And that revelation has to come. And you have to realize that your Atman, I and my Father are one. This truth has to be realized in every soul. And then is it that you see that one self in every being, one God dwelling everywhere. You know, there is this idea that, never mind about God. Religion is to do something for your fellow man. But you see, it is all in talk. They don't do anything ever for the fellow man. Except they beget children, yes. But you read in the newspaper how the other day some students wanted to test how people would behave. And so one girl was lying as if she had an accident. And people were passing by, nobody took any note of her. And it just happened actually in Hollywood. But when you have true religion, that is, when you realize that God is within you and God is within every being, by loving others you love God. By hating others or becoming indifferent to others, you are becoming indifferent to God, if you can understand that. And struggle to realize, you see, as I said, this ignorance is so direct and immediate. We don't see God, but God can be seen. God can be experienced. And with that unfoldment, it's an unfoldment. When that unfoldment comes, then only you have known religion. Then there is no question whether God is or God is not. Then there is no question what is the relation of me with God. What is the relation of me with the universe? No question arises. You see it, you know it, you experience it. And you see, then is it that your heart is full of compassion for every being. You feel that oneness with every being. You see, in the life of Buddha you will find, he sees that one mankind, his heart is throbbing in compassion for all mankind. Not with the idea that God is the Father, we are brothers. You know, brothers kill one another. We all know that. But there is divinity within me and that same God within every being. That one, mankind is one. That same God vibrating in and through every being in the universe. Then there is the real compassion. Then there is no question that preaching and teaching, do something for your fellow man. You instantaneously do it. Now, to come to our subject. The divinity, your very nature is divine. But there is an ignorance. And what is this ignorance? You are considering yourself as an individual being, separate from everybody, separate from God. This is the ignorance. Now, what is this idea of individuality? It is that Atman, the true self, identifying itself with the seeds, physical, vital, mental, intellectual. You see, all these different seeds you are identifying yourself with. If you consider and analyze a little carefully, you shall find that of course you are not the body. Because the body is ever changing. And the body dies. Also, if you analyze, you will find you are not the mind, you are not the intellect. And the sense of individuality that has come to you is just a shadow, a reflection. It has no reality. Just try to consider, what am I as an individual being? In what consists my individuality? You'll find it has no existence. Your body, your mind, your senses, your intellect, a composition of those, you are losing every moment. They're always in a flux. So which is your individuality? You are not individuals yet. Your individuality is in God, in the Atman, in the infinite. But somehow, you see, this has happened to everybody universally. And it has happened from a beginningless time. Now here is a very interesting point. You will find it discussed. Here the disciple is questioning. You say it is from a beginningless time. As such, it should be endless. So ignorance is beginningless and has to be endless. And you'll find the discussion. I'll come to that. But here is another point I wish to bring out. You know, for instance, you find in the Bible, God made man in his own image, in his own perfection. So originally, there is that image of God in everyone. But somehow there was the fall of Adam, you know. And then people are born in sin and iniquity. But you see, that's, you are looking at the negative aspect. Yes, as we are identifying ourselves with the body, etc., etc., it's a fall. Yes. So that is not divine. That is not perfect. The Atman is perfect. So, in Christianity, there is the impression, there is a great stress upon the negative side. In Vedanta, it gives the stress upon the positive side. But there is another point. You see, for instance, even a great thinker, perhaps one of the greatest thinkers amongst the Christian theologians, Professor Tillich. What he said was wonderful, but the logic was not correct. For instance, he said, even about Christ, he says, Christ was conditioned, that is finite, limited, imperfect. But through mysticism, he became unconditioned, infinite. We are also conditioned. We have to become unconditioned. That is, we are finite, human, mortal, human beings. We have to be one with God, infinite. The ideal, he points out, is wonderful. But if we stress that we are finite and mortal and human beings, as such, we can never become infinite logically. Because if your nature is something, that nature changes, then the thing itself is destroyed. The nature of fire is to give heat, and it always gives heat. If it ceases to give heat, it is no longer fire. So, Vedanta points out, no. You are unconditioned, you are infinite. Christ was unconditioned, Christ was infinite. And of course, Christ always realized that he was infinite, whereas you and I do not realize it. We have to realize it. Well, that point will come in the course of our discussion here. Now it says, disciple says, either because of delusion or for some other reason, the Atman, that is the self, appears to be the individual self. This mistaken identification had no beginning, and that which had no beginning cannot have an end either. Therefore, this mistake about the individual soul's identity must be eternal, and its wanderings through birth, death, and rebirth must continue forever. Then how can there be any liberation? Master, kindly explain this to me. The Master. Your question is to the point, O prudent one. Listen to me attentively. Something which has been conjured up by delusion and only exists in your imagination can never be accepted as a fact. Now here is the point. That we are finite, that we are in ignorance. This is an imagination. This is not a fact. We are always infinite. We are always unconditioned, in the words of Tillich. We are infinite. We are eternal, free and divine always. This consciousness that has come to us that we are finite, limited, human, mortal beings with all our weaknesses and failings, these are all imaginations. There is the snake, there is the rope lying there. You don't see the rope, you see a snake. The rope has not become the snake. That's your faulty vision. So it's a misreading. We see ourselves as finite human beings. It's a misreading of God. Misreading of that infinite. By its nature, the Atman is forever unattached. Here is the point. Sun shining. Clouds cover. It has not affected the luminosity of the sun. Sun is always shining, brilliant. Same way the Atman is always shining, pure, free, but covered by ignorance, covered by darkness. But it has not affected the Atman. Atman is forever free and eternal. By its nature, the Atman is forever unattached, beyond action and formless. Its identity with objects is imaginary, not real. We say, the sky is blue. Has the sky any color? The Atman is the witness, beyond all attributes, beyond action. It can be directly realized as pure consciousness and infinite bliss. That is what we have to do. We have to directly realize that it is infinite, pure infinite consciousness and infinite bliss. Its appearance as an individual soul is caused by the delusion of our understanding and has no reality. By its very nature, this appearance is unreal. When our delusion has been removed, it ceases to exist. The ignorance vanishes. Its appearance as an individual soul lasts only as long as our delusion lasts. Since this misapprehension arises from our delusion, from a delusion of our understanding, as long as our delusion continues, the rope appears to be a snake. When the delusion ends, the snake ceases to exist. Now again he is pointing out that though it is beginningless, it has an end. It is true that ignorance and its effects have existed from a time without any beginning. You know, otherwise, see if you take, for instance, take that literally, what is in the Bible, that originally God made man in his own image, there was the downfall of man. And then again, man has to become perfect, even as the Father which is in heaven is perfect. Good. But then you attain your perfection, there may be another fall. Again, Eve may tempt you. So you see, once you attain that unfoldment, that divinity, that knowledge, that wisdom, you retain that wisdom forever. There is no more any fall. So it is true that ignorance and its effects have existed from a time without any beginning, but ignorance, though beginningless, comes to an end when knowledge dawns. Because ignorance is something negative. It's lack of knowledge. And so with the dawn of knowledge, ignorance vanishes. It is completely destroyed, root and all, like the dreams that vanish utterly when we wake. You know, this is really from one standpoint. All our experience in this plane of consciousness is like a prolonged dream. And of course, we realize this is a prolonged dream when we wake up. You know, Buddha pointed out the difference between ignorance and this wisdom as sleep and awakening. This is sleep, and we are dreaming. We have to be awakened. You know, when Buddha was asked at one time, what are you? Are you a man? No. Are you a god? No. Are you an angel? No. What are you? He said, I am Buddha, the awakened one. And so that is the difference between ignorance and knowledge. And this ignorance is universal. A very great intellectual man who has studied, who has great knowledge, intellectual understanding and everything, and who has studied all the scriptures perhaps, still, until the dream has broken, he is still in ignorance. You have to be awakened to the consciousness of God. What Jesus also brought out as to be born in spirit. And what the Hindus call, you have to attain the transcendental consciousness. It is completely destroyed, root and all, like the dreams that vanish utterly when we wake. When something which was previously non-existent, is just an example he gives. When something which was previously non-existent comes into being, this implies that it has been non-existent from a beginningless time, but this non-existence, although beginningless, ceases as soon as that thing comes into existence. It is clear, therefore, that ignorance, although beginningless, is not eternal. You see, if ignorance had been a real fact, that would have been a different thing. But ignorance really has no reality. It's, we call it Maya. That it is not real, nor can we say completely unreal. Because as long as we are experiencing this empirical experience also, we take as true for the time being. But as we wake up, this has vanished. For instance, you see a mirage that has a reality as long as you are seeing it. But come near it, It has vanished. No more real. So there are degrees of reality. You are dreaming. When you are dreaming, it is so real, so factual. When you wake up, it has gone, it has vanished. Now again, you see, this is a prolonged dream. This has a greater reality. When we wake up and we see God, Brahman everywhere, then all this experience becomes nullified. And he comes back again into this consciousness. He sees these differences, but his whole view of life has changed. And you know, you don't have to die and go somewhere else to find God. Here and now. You live, move and have your being in him all the time. You see him all the time. But you are misreading. We see that a previous state of non-existence may come to an end even though it is beginningless. It is the same with the substance of an individual, semblance of an individual self. This semblance is due to a false identification of the Atman with the intellect and other coverings. The Atman by its very nature is essentially distinct and separate from them. The identification of the Atman with the intellect, etc., is caused by ignorance. The false identification can be dispelled only by perfect knowledge. And this is not intellectual knowledge, you know. Perfect knowledge, according to the revealed scriptures, is the realization of the Atman as one with Brahman. This is attained by an absolute discrimination between the Atman and the non-Atman. Therefore, a man should practice discrimination between the Atman and the individual self. Just as very muddy water shines transparently when the mud clears away, so the Atman shines with a pure luster when the impurities have been removed. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Impurities covering. When the darkness of unreality vanishes, the eternal Atman is clearly revealed. Therefore, a man should strive to free the eternal Atman from the unrealities of egotism and delusion. Of course, we have already seen what the preparations are. You see, you can really reading a scripture or hearing about it, you don't attain that wisdom. But there are certain qualifications needed. For instance, this discrimination between the eternal and non-eternal. What is it abiding? You see. And if you analyze, you will find that only God or Spirit or the Atman is immortal. Everything else is fleeting. And when you come to that discrimination, then you have to renounce. You have to control yourself. Renounce the pleasures of the flesh. Because you have to realize this is fleeting. And if you devote yourself to that which is fleeting, you lose that which is eternal. Then you have to attain certain treasures, qualities. Treasures means certain characteristics that you have to acquire. Tranquility, self-mastery. You have to learn to surrender yourself to God. You have to practice forbearance. You have to have faith. Faith also means that you have to have this faith that others have attained this knowledge, I also can attain it. And then only you are ready for attaining the truth of God. Now may I invite questions?
The oral questions from the audience are being revoiced due to their being off mic during the original recording. Would you say we are not individuals until we realize God?
No. Explain to me, what is your individuality? What is Mrs. So-and-so? Tell me.
But I thought when we realize God, we would lose ourselves.
No, we don't lose. There's nothing to lose. We gain. By losing our little self, we gain the real self.
But then we would not be individuals.
That in God is our true individuality, in Him. In other words, you are infinite. That's your individuality. You see? I'm giving a different meaning to the word individual.
Can one find this enlightenment without the aid of an exterior force by oneself?
By himself. Yes, you have to have the illumination by yourself, of course. But there are certain conditions. As I said, you have to prepare yourselves for that. But here are the three conditions necessary. Human birth, you have. Next condition is desire for liberation. You have to have longing for that truth. And then you have to have association with holy people. Because, you see, without that association, it is difficult to proceed. Of course, there are cases when one by himself can realize without any association. But those are very few instances. But as a general rule, these three conditions are necessary to fulfill. And it is possible, you see, it is possible for every one of us to attain that. But we have the potential power in every one of us. But of course, every one of us has not that longing, has not that yearning, has not that desire. You see, there is a passage in the Upanishads. Good and pleasure. These two present themselves to us, before us. Those who choose the pleasure, the pleasant, you know, he goes away. His face is turned away from God. And those who choose the good, he turns his face towards God. So always that discrimination is needed also.
Isn't the good pleasant too?
Not in the beginning. It is sour in the beginning, sweet in the end. But pleasant is sweet in the beginning, sour in the end. No, how can it be so pleasant, you know? You have to sit and struggle to concentrate your mind upon God. Your mind is running after desires, after flesh. You have to control that and struggle, you see. And you are not getting anything. No sweetness inside yet, you see. So that's not so pleasant. So it takes time.
What makes people keep on?
That's something. Not all. You see, there are two kinds of farmers, you know. One kind of farmer is amateur farmer. And if he succeeds in farming, he continues. But the moment the crop failure, he gives up in despair. But the real farmer whose vocation is farming, he can't give up under any circumstances because he knows that's his only way to make his living. So when you come to this understanding, suppose I don't get anything yet, shall I go back to the pleasures of the flesh? That is again frustrating. So when you keep up this discrimination, then it will keep you going. And then also you see, you get some glimpses occasionally, otherwise you don't, really it is difficult to continue. Some sweetness arises occasionally. It's not such a strenuous task to find God, I'd say. The only condition is yearning and longing.
Isn't the desire and the yearning put there within us by God in the first place?
But everybody does not. How many desire for God? Can you give me any idea? Very few. There is a saying in the Bible, seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything else shall be added unto you. But here, you see, first seek ye first bread and butter and then everything else shall be added unto you. That's what. Don't you see how people are running after desires and not for God?
But we have to have bread and butter.
Sure we have to have, but do not seek first that, but seek first God. Make God the paramount thing in your life. How many can do that?
I suppose we have to have both?
Yes. No, you see, there is a verse in the Gita which is very true, factual. Of thousands of people, one perchance seeks to know me. Ask yourself, let every one of us ask, do I want God? Is that something paramount in my life?
Swami, don't we have to understand through the intellect in the beginning?
Oh, yes, of course it is the beginning. Sure, you have to understand intellectually first, sure.
When does the intellect begin to be still?
That's what what we read today, tonight, was that. You have to discriminate. Of course, discrimination is with your intellect. You discriminate between that which is eternal and non-eternal. That's the beginning. So of course your intellect you have to use.
Swami, when it says that Maya is beginningless, that it has no existence, it is unreal, then could it mean that if it has no existence, it could have no beginning?
That's what Maya has no beginning. And Maya in the universal sense has no end. But when it comes to individual beings, we don't call it Maya, we call it avidya. There are two terms. Maya is something that is universal. And that is beginningless and endless. That is, this universe is going on within Maya from a beginningless time. And it will continue to endless time. But avidya, ignorance, that is in the individual being, is beginningless, but it has an end. That's what we studied tonight.
Swami, in other words, when we recognize this divinity within ourselves, is this when we recognize it in everybody else?
Yes.
When does this come?
When we recognize. Not recognize in the sense of with intellectual recognition, But when this dream vanishes and we come face to face with the reality, then we see that reality, that God everywhere, in every being. You see, Ramakrishna was seated with his disciples and he says, "Do you know what I see? I see Rama everywhere." Om Hari Om. Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahavirjam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om. May Brahman protect us. May He guide us. May He give us strength and right understanding. May we have love for all. May our study bring light unto us. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace.